Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Nuria Martinez-Keel.
And I'm Dale Denwalt. You're listening to The Source.
Thanks for joining us as we discuss the Oklahomans' most impactful stories with the reporters who wrote them.
The number of Oklahomans eligible to receive health care paid for by Medicaid will grow by about 200,000 people on July 1st. But recent developments at the legislature and the Oklahoma Supreme Court have complicated the future of the program.
Reporters Dana Branham and Carmen Foreman have joined us today. Both of you have covered Medicaid expansion in Oklahoma. Dana, I was hoping you could give us just a quick primer here. What's changing with Medicaid and who's becoming eligible that maybe wasn't before?
So low-income adults whose ages are between 19 and 64 and fall into certain income categories will now be eligible to apply for Medicaid through the state of Oklahoma. They could begin applying this week on June 1st. And so for those who are approved, their coverage will start on July 1st.
And where is the money coming from to expand Sooner Care coverage?
So 90% of it is coming from the federal government, and then Oklahoma will pick up that other 10%.
So I know even though the federal government is covering 90% of the cost associated with expanding Medicaid, there's some who worry about the impact that the extra 10% will have on our state budget. Carmen, I know you've written extensively about this. What have state government officials and lawmakers had to say about Oklahoma taking on that extra cost? I mean, is it going to have much of an impact?
So they estimate that for the next fiscal year, which starts July 1, that cost is going to be about $164 million. But the hard part is that at first, one, you have a lot of people that come on through Medicaid expansion that haven't had health insurance for a while. And so they have serious, sometimes very serious health problems, and or they haven't been to a doctor in 5 years, 10 years. And so they go to a doctor for the first time and the doctor says, you know, oh, you have cancer or you have a serious illness, you need chronic help. And so those things can really add up. Plus, state officials have expressed some concerns that, you know, the estimate is that about 200,000 more Oklahomans will qualify for Medicaid, but they have expressed concerns that perhaps it could be more than that, in which case the state's share of the expansion could cost more than $164 million, which is what they budgeted for.
State officials were resistant to the idea of expanding Sooner Care, also known as Medicaid, for many years. The expansion, though, didn't happen until voters approved a constitutional amendment last year that forced them to do it. This question is for either Carmen or Dana. Why was it so important for Oklahomans to be able to access this expanded Medicaid? Are we generally less healthy, less insured? What was the impetus for expanding Medicaid in Oklahoma?
Yeah, there's you kind of hinted at all of it. Oklahoma is one of the lowest insured rates in the country. I think, if I remember correctly, we've been 46th in the nation for a while. Oklahoma has pretty poor health rankings across the board, whether it's diabetes, the number of people who smoke, the number of people who have heart disease. It's pretty much a bleak picture. And so advocates for Medicaid expansion have argued that by expanding Medicaid, that improves access to healthcare for folks who maybe cannot afford it on their own, and therefore could improve the state's health outcomes as a whole.
And Governor Kevin Stitt has suggested his own plan for expanding Medicaid coverage. He calls that Sooner Select. How does that plan differ from typical Medicaid expansion that you might see in other states?
So the Medicaid expansion will happen regardless on July 1 because it's in our state's constitution. Basically, we have to do it, and our state lawmakers have to fund it. What Governor Stitt wants to do is he wants to basically take a large portion of the state's Medicaid population, probably say between 700 and 8,000 people on Medicaid, and have, instead of having the Oklahoma Healthcare Authority, which oversees the Medicaid program, sort of keep an eye on the care for those folks, he wants four major health insurance companies to basically take over the care for those Medicaid recipients. And the idea behind that is that those health insurance companies could do a better job of making sure people go to primary care doctors or get flu shots or get regular health screenings. And so the idea is that you catch problems before they become really bad, before they become chronic illnesses, and before they become very costly for the state, essentially.
And Dana, they were in the middle of rolling this out, Dana, isn't that correct?
Yes. So applications just opened for this new expansion population when we learned about this latest development.
And to that point, Sooner Select, which is Governor Kevin Stitt's plan, was scheduled to officially launch July 1st with applications opening up June 1st. But the state Supreme Court just came out and dealt a blow to his idea for managed care in this way. What did the justices say about the plan?
So actually, you were a little off there. Sooner Select was supposed to take effect October 1. And from the start of the expansion, there was going to be like basically an enrollment period, like at the Oklahoman. We have a 2 or 3 week enrollment period every year where we get to pick our health plan. So it's going to be the same thing for Medicaid recipients. As for the Supreme Court justices, in a 6-3 ruling yesterday, the Oklahoma Supreme Court decided that basically the Stitt administration and the healthcare authority did not have the power to move forward with putting out an RFP to to inking contracts with these four health insurance companies to implement managed care in our state. And there's some question about that because lawmakers passed a bill toward the end of session that some could argue does give the healthcare authority permission to do managed care. But proponents of that bill, which is Senate Bill 131, have said that no, they really only passed that because the governor was going forward with managed care, despite some lawmakers' angst about that. And so this was their attempt to put a framework around managed care or to put guardrails around it to protect the state and give the legislature more say in the future implementation of managed care.
And the state is in the middle of rolling out all of these changes. Carmen and Dana, does anyone really know at this point what the impact of this state Supreme ruling will be?
It's complicated and up in the air. I think if you asked somebody in the legislature, somebody in the governor's office, somebody in the healthcare authority, they would all give you a different answer about what happens next. And what the governor kind of said earlier is that he thinks this will delay implementation of managed care, as opposed to stopping it entirely. So it's kind of up in the air, but, you know, this is so, for the average person, this is so deep in the weeds, right? Like, if you are in low income and in need of health insurance, this does not change anything for you. And if you fall within the parameters of those who qualify for expansion, you could still apply for expansion benefits. You can still get those benefits and they will come to you perhaps in a different manner than how they would under the governor's proposal.
I really like the pause indicating that along with everyone else in state government, none of us really know what's going to go on next. And just to clarify, Dana, this expanded Medicaid, Sooner Care, Sooner Select, this isn't really a concern for people who have insurance through their employer, right?
No, it's not. So that this wouldn't change the insurance that if you have a job that provides health insurance, that's not really going to play in here. This is more for people who don't have that and are looking for a way to get health coverage through the state. So like Carmen said, though a lot of things are up in the air about this, if you fall within those income guidelines, and so for one person, it's making below about $18,000 a year, or if you're a family of four, it's below about $36,500 a year. So if you're falling below that income guideline and you live in the state, you can still go ahead and apply. You can apply online. About 3,400 people have done it since it opened up on Tuesday, so yesterday. So people are still able to get those applications done.
And how does somebody apply? Do they just go to the OHCA website?
So there is a website. It's called mysoonercare.com. And if you go to that, you can start an application there. If you don't have access to the internet, or if someone you know doesn't, there's a helpline for them to call. And you can also even fill out an application and mail it in through the mail. So what I've heard from the folks in charge with this is that the online application is probably the preferred route, because you'll find out almost instantly if you were approved, and then you'll have coverage. So and then the phone or mailing it in will take a bit longer to know that.
And what's the message to the public that medical officials and the folks running this expansion program, what are they saying? Because you mentioned there have been a couple thousand people who've signed up in the first few days, but this could expand to maybe up to 200,000 new openings for Medicaid coverage. So what's the message right now to the public, just letting them know what's changing here, what they're hoping to see?
Yeah, the message that I've heard is that this is just going to be a way for more Oklahomans to get health coverage and for them to go ahead and apply for that coverage as soon as they can, because the sooner they do it, their coverage will start on July 1st. If someone waited until after July 1st, they could still apply. They could still get that coverage. It's just not going to start until the day you apply. And one thing an expert mentioned that I heard that was important, I think, to mention is you want to apply before you get medical bills, because they're not going to cover bills retroactively. So if you want your health insurance to apply to services or care that you need to have that in place before something happens. So the message I've heard is just go get it done.
I've heard a lot of people this week, I should say proponents of the state question for Medicaid expansion, just sort of like celebrating, you know, that like this is finally happening. I mean, Dale, you covered politics before I did, and I'm sure that this issue, Medicaid expansion, has been talked about probably to death for the past decade, if not longer. And so I saw plenty of people celebrating on the first day of enrollment, saying, look, this is how elections work. This is how you win elections. And this is, you know, the tangible benefits of getting out to vote. And I was going to mention something else. I thought it was interesting. In Missouri, they also passed a constitutional state question to expand Medicaid. And it's now turned into this whole big fight because lawmakers basically refused to fund it. And I honestly kind of thought that might happen here in Oklahoma, but it didn't. So
it's been really surprising, and it kind of caught me off guard when you open up the newspaper one day and it said that Oklahoma has expanded Medicaid, because you know, ever since the idea of expanding Medicaid kind of gained traction on the left, it's been an immediate no from those on the right, especially here in Oklahoma. So I think it'll be interesting to see, because I don't think that the state necessarily needed to add anything to the state question, aside from maybe adopting some rules about how, you know, the money passes through, and also, of course, to fund it. But Carmen, you know, there might be a special session, I heard, later this year to deal with redistricting. Is it possible the legislature could expand the scope of that? Or the governor who calls the special session, could he expand the scope of any special session this year to include tacking on some amendments to this?
That's a really good question. That was my first thought when I saw that Supreme Court opinion was, hey, is the legislature going to have to come back in special session? And obviously, Dale, you know that the governor typically is the one that calls a special session. Usually it's done in conjunction with a chat with the Speaker of the House and the pro tem, and they're all on the same page. But it's possible the governor could call a special session to deal with managed care. I did ask his office that very question this morning, and they said the governor was going on vacation, so he's not imminently concerned about it. The other thing I would mention is that it sort of goes back to this argument about the legislation that was passed at the very end of session. And I think that you could argue, and maybe the governor's office will try to argue, that Senate Bill 131 and the legislature's passage of that essentially approved the healthcare authority going forward with managed care. And so because of that, if you did look at it through that lens, coming back in a special session wouldn't really accomplish anything. But you could also talk to some lawmakers who supported Senate Bill 131, and they would absolutely tell you, no, we weren't giving our approval to managed care. We were just saying, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it X, Y, and Z way. But it's all very complicated. Who knows what could happen next?
Well, Dana and Carmen, thank you so much for joining us today, talking about a subject that is really complex, but also really impactful for a lot of Oklahomans. So thanks so much for lending us your time. Thanks for joining us this week. This podcast is possible because of the Oklahomans subscribers. We encourage you to subscribe if you can. You can read these stories and more every day in The Oklahoman and at oklahoman.com. Check back next Friday for a new episode.